Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition. I'm your host for tonight, Patricio Robayo. We are continuing our look back at 2025, and one of the guests that we have on a weekly basis is Dan Hoos, Communications Director for Sullivan County. And he's here in the studio now, and we're going to talk about the things that were, that happened this year, and things to look forward to in 2026. Dan, welcome to back to the program. One of the big stories that we've been following and is still ongoing and affects not only Sullivan County, but neighboring other counties is the landfill. Seneca Falls in upstate New York is going out of commission soon, and we need to find a place for where it can bring our garbage to. And there has been a lot of discussion on what to do with that. So if you want just talk about how that all played out this year.
There had been a lot of focus on the waste to energy or incinerator plant that is being considered by the county, but there was a lot more smoke than fire there. And really, I guess is what I would say is that there was a visit that had been made by the prior legislature to the Covanta plant, I think it's called, down in Long Island near the Roosevelt Mall there, which is named because I think that's where the airport used to be, Roosevelt Field, where Lindbergh took off. But right in that area where Lindbergh took off is this waste to energy plant that they run in the most crowded part of Long Island, and they seem to run it well and it's in compliance with what it needs to be. So legislators were like, maybe this is the way for us to take care of our burgeoning waste issue, where instead of shipping it out, we can have a facility there and also maybe import waste that could then be incinerated and also create energy, electricity. However, there are people in the public who are like, no way, no how, don't want that. So that became a real topic of discussion in 2025. But the RFP, I think, is just now being sent out, a request for proposals with that. It wasn't sent out earlier because there was still homework being done. And even with the RFP, there's still going to be homework that has to be done. The legislature has made it very clear that if this is, as some are saying, a health detriment to people, that we're not going to have this in the county. And even if they did decide to move forward with it, we're talking about a project that could take upwards of a decade to realize. So in the meantime, the upstate Seneca Meadows landfill, where we've been shipping our waste to for many years, is anticipated to close. I don't know the exact date. I know they were working on trying to get an expansion permit. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but the county was like, we can't afford to just sit and wait for a closure to happen and suddenly have to switch where we're hauling things to, including out of state, which could be even more expensive. So we worked with a company that had already been hauling our trash up there, MBI, I think is their name, and another company that was willing to take our trash that operates, I think, three upstate landfills. And so we worked out an agreement with them. I think it was signed either in November or October of this year to start in January. So we won't be having at least to worry or have the pressure of worrying about Seneca Meadows closing any longer. Landfilling is still something, I mean, you can't get away from it totally, but something that the legislature doesn't want to be doing in perpetuity. They want to find more innovative and useful ways to dispose of our waste. They are working on the composting facility that we piloted a compost program through our recycling director, actually Cassie Thelman, and our Division of Public Works that was a runaway success. We had promoted it here in particular, JFF, quite a few times. We needed at least 400 people to sign up to give us their organics waste and to allow us to turn it into compost. But we aren't doing that. We're taking it and then we're shipping it out to Ulster County, I believe is where we're taking it. And then they turn it into compost and then they sell it and they make the profit off of it. And we're like, we want to do that too. But we have to get the permission from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to do a composting facility, which they seem on board with, and we are moving ahead with that. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, is that we will have an on-site at our Monticello Transfer Station composting facility, where if you don't want or have room for a compost pile in your own backyard, we will take it. We will turn it into something that is useful for you and all the other people who use our transfer station want to come in and purchase some compost that is great fertilizer for your gardens or mulch for your plant beds. So that's what's ahead with that. In the meantime, of course, we are still looking at a potential waste-to-energy plant, but the public's going to have plenty of chances to weigh in on that, and the legislature is not saying we're committed to this in any way. It is just an option that they're looking at, and the odds are at least 50-50 of moving forward with that. But we have to do our due diligence first, and that includes taking into account what the public has to say, but also having some, I think, consulting services we'll probably employ with that and see, is this really a good idea or is this really a bad idea?
Yeah, it's the town boards that I cover, it's has come up a lot in recent weeks and during public comment about, you know, the how towns should be more active in during this process, and the supervisors say all the time that it's still sort of in the infancy stages still, as far as like there's no public hearing set down or there's no, you know, direct plan. But people have seen on Facebook and other places that people are really against an incinerator in here. But you know, said like you said, some of the options that we do have to consider for this year.
And I want those folks to know, as much as anybody else, we are going to be very transparent about this. And the places and times that you have to weigh in about this, and you don't even have to wait for that. You can talk to your legislators directly. It's a small enough county. But that said, that we are going to let people know when and where they can comment about this. And as we saw with the recent budget vote, when the public comes and speaks about an issue, legislators are listening. And so this is not in any way a done deal. No one should think that it shouldn't be publicized that way. This is just at this point in the due diligence phase. And part of due diligence is learning the disadvantages and the negatives as much as the advantages and the positives. And I am very comfortable saying that's what's going to be done.
Let's move on to something that I've seen a lot in the in your press releases as coming out, is the airport terminal had a huge upgrade. You know, millions and millions of dollars have been allocated towards it from the state, and have built a brand new terminal. I haven't been there yet. I'm looking forward to one day.
We got to get you there.
I have to go. It looks beautiful in pictures. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us about, you know, what things have been improved and sort of what is the sort of the thought process about, you know, upgrading this terminal, which is not in use for every resident in Sullivan County. I mean, unless you have a private plane or some kind of thing there. But you could just tell us what is the sort of the thought process in upgrading this terminal.
Sure. It may not be used by every resident of the county, but it's intended to benefit every resident of the county. And that is entirely possible. I'll explain that in just a second. Mm-hmm. First off, it's an airport that has existed since 1969. In fact, it opened just before the Woodstock concert. Wow. And we had people like Janis Joplin flying in there to perform at the Woodstock concert because there was no getting there any other way except on foot. So they had to be flown into the airport and then choppered into the site in Bethel from there. So since that time, a lot of famous people have come through. Bethel Woods, some of their performers come through as well. We have, like, Stage Door Manor, the performing arts camp. Well, some of the kids that go there have the A-list Hollywood stars who have flown into our airport and then driven over to Loch Sheldrake from there. We also have just ordinary folk who use it to a level of, I think last I knew, about 70 landings and takeoffs every week that are at that airport. And of course, we're counting people who are learning to fly too. I learned to fly there actually about 30 years ago. And it is more active, I think, than people realize, but it has potential to be so much more active than it is now. It has long been considered by residents of the county to be a white elephant, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. But the idea of simply giving up on it and selling it not only seems to be self-defeating, but also my understanding is that we would have to pay quite a few years worth of FAA grant funding that we got to fix the runways and taxiways and other things. We'd have to pay that back to the federal government. We're talking about probably hundreds of millions of dollars. So that's not in the taxpayers' best interest. What is? Putting an airport together that can attract revenue-producing activity. We're already seeing an increase in our fuel sales. In fact, that's one of the things that led to the budget. I think they felt they could get it down from the 9.1% tax increase to the 2% tax increase, in small part because of increased aviation fuel sales at the airport. Because think about this, it's really a gas station, not just for those who are there, but those who are flying by. If you're on your way from, say, Virginia to Maine, Sullivan County International Airport may be just the place to set it down and top off the fuel that you have so that you could make it to Maine safely and comfortably. And people do that. But also we have hangar rentals. We have acreage that we could build new hangars on. We've got Hatsola Air there that wants to put their world headquarters there. They're an emergency relief organization that flies around the world. And they're based at Sullivan County International Airport. We'd love to have more like that. And of course, now we have a brand new $24 million terminal, which a lot of people think of as a passenger terminal, but that's actually not what it's intended to be. We tried that with the original terminal when it opened back in 1969, and I think we had scheduled airline service maybe up through 74, 75, but it just wasn't making any money for the companies, certainly not for the county, even though we had like $20 flights from there to Newark, which some people are like, hey, maybe we should think about bringing that back, and maybe we will. But the focus now is on making it a business jet port. Scheduled airline service, listen, Stewart International Airport, which is the one a lot of people use in Newburgh, they have trouble keeping airlines flying in and out of there. So we're not looking to have on rose-colored glasses where we're going to succeed where other people have not and where we ourselves haven't in years past. We're looking to take advantage of what our real competitive edge is, which is the airports our size closer to New York City, like Teterboro, like Westchester and White Plains, like Republic out on Long Island. They are now surrounded by an urban landscape. They don't have any room to expand, and the property they have is basically already maxed out. So if you're looking to house a plane there, you're probably on a waiting list. If you're looking to get fuel there, you're probably going to have to wait in line and maybe pay more than you would pay up here. If you're looking to rent office space there, you might be on a waiting list. You're likely going to pay more because it costs more to have an office in the New York metro region than it does right up in Sullivan County. We've got all that available. And as far as flying in for a corporate jet, 5-10 minutes max, we're farther away from the New York metro area than those airports are. And we are also in a beautiful neck of the woods where maybe you'll want to have a second home. So those folks we want flying in because they're going to benefit our economy by being in here. But beyond that, we want the airport to be self-supporting. Currently, taxpayers support it over $500,000 every year. We've been whittling away at that over the years, but I am 100% confident that we can get that down to at least a net zero, where it's a wash, and maybe even make the airport profitable. The county's not in the business of making a profit, but if we make revenue beyond our expenses, we reinvest that into the airport and into the county, and that benefits taxpayers as well. To me, that's the best use of taxpayer money, which did go towards building this terminal. 18.5 million was from the state, but of course that's taxpayer money too. And then there was that additional, let me do my math here, $5.5 million was it from, does that get us to 24? Yes, I think so. From the local coffers as well. But we want to see a return on that investment. And part of my job will be to be very aggressively marketing the airport to that business aviation community, but also to the local community as well. We have five offices that are available to rent in the new terminal building. The sixth one will be for the restaurant, which should be opening in April. We just passed a resolution yesterday to set a public hearing on the lease of that. We have a vendor who's from New Jersey who understands what we're looking for in a restaurant there, which will be open to the public. It won't just be to those flying in. You'll be able to come and bring your family and we hope have like burger and fries and have a great view of the runway and the beautiful hills and mountains beyond. I, as a kid, used to get a pizza at a place called El Monaco's in White Lake, doesn't exist anymore. And we would go to a park that used to exist right next to the airport on a hill overlooking the airport, and we'd watch the planes take off and land. Some of my fondest memories are doing that. Well, now if the weather's not that great, maybe it's chilly outside, but it's still sunny, well, you can do it inside where it's warm because we have these huge windows that face the runway and the tarmac. And you're going to see not just little propeller-driven planes, you're going to see these big corporate jets as well. In fact, when we had an opening ceremony there a few weeks ago, there was a beautiful corporate jet parked right outside there, and I did not have anything to do with creating it this way, but they took off just as we finished our speech about the opening of the terminal. I could not have planned it better. Right? No, it wasn't. I wanted to, but I couldn't make it happen. So it happened naturally. Also, the terminal is open at no cost for people like local community groups, nonprofits. JFF could go and have a meeting there if they wanted to have a board meeting. We have a conference room available there. If you wanted to do some sort of private party or something, there would be a rental fee involved. But for our nonprofits, our schools, or municipalities, our rotaries, whatever, they want to have a meeting there, get in touch with me. I'll send you the form that we fill out, and then you can have your event there. We are actually, I'm board president of the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. We are going to be having our 50th anniversary gala there in May. Oh, wow. And it's just a really cool space, very energy efficient, built of wood, more wood than steel in it. The building is supported by wooden beams. They're glue laminated, built in New York State, has a lot of cool energy efficient measures, including a geothermal system that we have there. So it is really state of the art, and it is a way to show people the gem we have in the airport, and then to really bring in that business so that taxpayers in a few years, maybe less than that, won't have to be shouldering that burden anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest things you hear online is that, you know, how is that supporting the county as a whole if no one, that everyone's using the airport, but you explained that very well, that how it could be a future revenue gainer, not gainer, generator.
We're trying to generate more traffic for that airport. It has a huge runway that can actually land a Boeing 727 and has before. And we are in a prime position to offer ourselves to the growing business aviation community. And I've told people too, if we generate enough traffic and revenue going on there, a future legislature may very well consider having maybe some of those short hopper flights like down to Newark, reinstituting those again. That might be something that really could happen. So we need to root for its success. We need to work for its success, not do what too often happens in Sullivan County and just talk down about, well, it's not going to benefit me. We need to think a little deeper about that and a little more long term. I really think it has a lot of potential. And I'm telling the taxpayers now, I'm going to work my hardest because I believe in that potential to have that potential realized.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that they had that service at one point, you know, like flying to Newark or something like that. That'd be great.
We have some of the old signage from that that we're going to mount back in the current terminal just so people can see some of it. They were hand-painted signs of welcome to the Catskills or this plane is departing at this time or whatever. So that's another thing, too. We preserve some of the original bluestone from the first terminal that is in the new terminal. Mm. So you will see native hand-cut bluestone from the area that still decorates the interior of the facility. It's a gorgeous facility. It is open to everybody. And my hope and plan is that it's going to benefit everybody.
Right. And I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but do you still fly?
I do. Occasionally. Not as much. I need to get my license back into a current shape, but I have some friends I go up with and they let me handle the controls. Most of my flying now is done on Microsoft's Flight Simulator, which is so photorealistic. Yes. But yeah, I have been a pilot for 30 years.
Wow.
So
learned something new. I didn't know that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with pilot Dan Hoost. We'll continue our conversation and take a look back at 2025. Stay tuned.
These law firms are agreeing to these deals when they know that there's no legal basis for any threatened executive order. And by capitulating, they're aiding, you know, this existential threat against the profession, the independence of the judiciary.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Welcome back to the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. I'm here with Sullivan County Communications Director Dan Hoost, and we're talking about the stories of 2025. And one of the stories I've been following in and enthralled with is the time capsule that was found in the storage. I believe if you want to tell us a story about it, this was placed during the construction of the Sullivan County government building. We can tell us about this, what was found in the cornerstone.
Oh, this was one of the coolest things that has ever happened in my life. I love local history, and this was completely unexpected. I was aware, because I had seen the building plaque, that the government center had been dedicated in October 1975. Although actually that plaque's incorrect. The dedication ceremony happened in November of 1975. But I knew that we were coming up on the 50th anniversary. I happened to be born in 1975 too, so 50 was at forefront of mind. When I had left the Democrat, I had asked the publisher there, Fred Stabbert, if I could get the copies of the Republican Watchman newspaper, a paper that had long been the main paper of Sullivan County, but had gone defunct, I think, in the early 80s. He had some original bound copies, and he didn't really have room for them. He needed to make room for the bound copies of the Democrat. So he said, yeah, he says, I know that you'll take good care of them. So I've stored those for many years. They run from, I think I have from the early 50s to basically right up to when it ended in, I think, around 81. So I knew that they had very likely covered, since they were a Monticello-based paper, the opening of the government center in 1975. And I thought, it'd be cool to take some pictures of that and post that on Facebook when we get around to October, November. So I started looking through those pages, and I saw the photos of the building going up and people involved and how transformative it was going to be for the county. Then I came across a dedication photo taken by actually Madeline Conway, who is a relative of our current county historian, John Conway. And it showed the then Board of Supervisors chairman, Joe Rafa, I think his name, and the county historian at that time, I think his name was William Smith, inserting papers into the cornerstone of the building, which is this concrete block with the number 1975 on it. It actually wasn't technically a cornerstone. It was put in an area fronting a fountain that used to exist in the entrance off of North Street into the government center, which we demolished years ago because of accessibility issues, because there were stairs around it rather than ramps. And I think our Division of Public Works also didn't want to be dealing with a fountain during the winter months. Mm-hmm. It was just a headache. So they did, though, preserve that 1975 cornerstone. And I found out it was still in the building in a little storage area off the DPW offices. So I had taken pictures of that before, but had not noticed anything unusual about it. There was something on top of it. It looked like it was just fixing maybe a repair or repairing something when they had removed it from where it originally sat. But when I saw that photo, it's like, this is a time capsule. There could be material still in that. But then I thought maybe it had already been opened up, because it didn't say in there when it was supposed to be opened or anything. So I talked to our DPW commissioner, Ed McAndrew. He and I went and looked at it, and we realized, no, that's a lid on top of something inside that stone. And he says, and that clock looks to be circa 1975, undisturbed. So a few weeks later with legislators, we opened that thing up, and there it was, a copper box soldered shut. And we then opened that up, found out that the moisture that had been trapped in there had gotten sucked into the paper. So we had to then wait a little while to dry it all out, but discovered that my predecessor, Sullivan County's Director of Publicity and Tourism for many, many years, a guy named Ben Kaplan, who I was privileged to work with at the Democrat, had created this time capsule and invited all the towns and villages in the county to contribute material to it. 14 of the 15 towns did, and the village of Monticello did as well. Once we dried that out, I started cataloging and photographing that and putting that up on social media to let people know what their forebears thought was interesting or worthwhile to put into a time capsule in late 1975. Still not sure exactly when they thought they wanted it to be open, but I think it's very fitting that we did open it almost 50 years to the day afterwards. It's certainly fortunate we did, because I think it would have continued to deteriorate with that moisture in there. Some things still are too badly deteriorated to understand exactly what they said or showed. But most of it was intact, including a coin from the town of Rockland, including handwritten history from the former town of Thompson historian Marjorie Derlin Smith, including a zoning code from the town of Mamikating, which I'm not exactly sure I understand why that was in there. But they also included information about celebrating the anniversary of the D&H Canal, which was a big event they had in Wurtsboro, and just a real moment in time that was captured. Really cool to be able to be the one to have found that, especially since I'm the successor to the guy who put it together in 1975. And now we're looking maybe in this coming year to work with our current county historian, John Conway, to create a new time capsule, one that will be, I don't know, vacuum sealed or more resistant to moisture, to be put back into that cornerstone and to be opened more explicitly 50 years from now.
Wow. I'm just thinking about 50 years from now, where will I be? Hopefully here. Not here in this building, but on this earth.
Still listening, maybe to WJFF. You know, Lucy will be Lucy will be spoon feeding you.
she'll be doing the report. You just mentioned the future, so I want to ask you. You know, what things are you looking forward to into 2026, county wise, or just
Airport? Of course, is a big one. I think that's going to be transformative. But even more transformative than that is the broadband project. We have to finish wiring hundreds upon hundreds of homes, thousands of homes, actually, by the end of 2026. That's that $30 million grant, largest single grant in our history that we got from the state's Connect All program. We are actively working right now to make trenches for these fiber lines that are running. You will see our equipment around. It's been in Liberty. It's been in Fremont. I think we're starting down in Wurtsboro shortly. And between 60 and 70% of the county will have access either through the wired version, which will, like I said, mostly be buried underground, or the wireless. We will be broadcasting wireless signal from our existing emergency communications towers. This is different from the cell signal.
Right.
Works similarly, but it will be for wireless access with very high upload and download speeds. And I think that's just going to make the county even more attractive for not just people to live in, but also to work in. And that is probably the biggest thing that's going to be happening in 2026. Our private partner, Archtop Fiber, already has a website up about that. We're going to be debuting a website very specific to Sullivan County. We're going to call it Sullivan Connects. And it's going to be service, I think, will start probably around the summer or early fall.
Wow.
For people. And it, even though we have to have the build out finished by the end of December, services will continue to be offered to people and be rolled out in the years to come. And we're hoping to get some more funding that actually can get us as close to 100% coverage as possible. So people have an affordable option and a choice beyond just what they have now. And of course, there are folks who use like satellite as well, but that's more expensive and also prone to interference from weather.
Right.
This will not be.
And I guess that will explain the trucks I saw this morning, because I live near Wurtsboro, and I saw a couple of trucks there with huge, big spools of orange wire. And
that's us.
What I've seen in the past is that means like they're wiring something. I assume internet. I was like, I guess maybe another company's coming in or something like that. But
That's our broadband project.
Look at that.
Yep.
I saw it in action this morning. All right. So thank you so much. We're talking to Dan Hughes, Communications Director for Sullivan County, letting us know what happened in 2025 and what he's looking forward to in the new year. So Dan, as always, thank you so much for coming on, not only on The Local Dish, but Chasco every week with Tim Bruno. Thank you for all you do during the year. So thank you so much, and happy new year, and happy holidays and everything else.
To you too as well, Patricio. Grateful for the work you do.
And that does it for The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Local independent journalism depends on the support of people like you. Your donation now at the end of the year ensures that we can continue offering accurate, fact-based reporting while creating stories that bring the community together. Your donation helps amplify public voices and supports our efforts to confront hate, bigotry, and misinformation. Be part of our good work. Make your year-end donation now at wjffradio.org.